Good morning, everyone. It is time for Daily Chapel. The text is Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 through 20. The Reverend John Sias is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first chapter. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalm 8 reads as translated, to be a marveling that in all the grandeur of the universe, God cares about mankind. That he has made him just a little lower than the rank of the heavenly beings. It fits well in the shadow of St. Michael's, which we celebrated yesterday. But the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come. And he highlights the Son of Man of Psalm 8:4, namely Jesus, who is not a little less than the heavenly beings, but was for a little while made lower than them, who by the suffering of death was crowned with glory and honor, and all things are indeed under his feet. Not everywhere, but here, I think Jerome the translator, whom we commemorate today, maybe did a little better than our English. But a good question is it man, or is it the Son of Man in Psalm 8? Or a bigger but related one is redemption, putting all things back under our dominion. Is it a creational repair, or is it all things under his? Does Jesus rerail us after our derailment to where we were going before or anyway? Or is Jesus, the forgiveness of sins by the blood of the cross, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting, is he himself the intended destination of all those ventures to which we cannot yet see the ending by paths untrodden through perils unknown? Is it more about us and our identity and our security and our meaning, or is it all about Jesus and his? And finally, is Jesus but the way to the Father that we think all men know one way or another as the giver of all the good stuff? Or is the Father the revelator of, the qualifier to be in Jesus? Jesus, who is meant in everything, even in being firstborn from the dead to be preeminent, meaning that even the Father and all good are known and knowable only in relation to him and to this. These are fundamental questions. And if we don't think about them often, I think we should. For if Jesus is to be but the re-railer of our dominion, the fixer of creation, neither do we now see all things as subject to us, nor, I submit, would we want to. One does not have to live long in this world to learn to be grateful that God barred the way to the tree of life, lest. Well, I say that, but whose life and idea of salvation day to day isn't a quest for the restoration of our dominion over creation. For God to come and make low my hills and high my valleys, to pave a highway for me, or if not for me, then for my family, my party, my kind, my country. Maybe if we're generous and optimistic, the world. A salvation of cure this, eliminate that, faster, better, longer lasting. But life and salvation are not this way. Neither does God, even God who says, "Ask and ye shall receive," by and large give it. And not for lack of our asking, nor does our fabled pulling up selves by the bootstraps he gave get us there. We learn this over and over again, but we never learn. On a global scale, the bud of modernity flowered to worldwide war. And then the hope of ending all wars fell to a greater one. And what supposedly ended that still threatens us all. And to be honest, what's true of the whole lot is also true in each of us and all together. The cycles of hope and optimism and hubris and failure and despair. And we get right back on the well-muscled longhorn horse of our supposed dominion, our mastery, and we try again. I'll make it this time. On and on it goes and will go. Now, if we are disappointed at God in this, whether on a global scale or closer to home, even within ourselves, even to despair of his ability or usefulness, we are disappointed foolishly. Not knowing what God means through all this to do and what he is, in fact, mightily doing. For the world is constituted differently and for a different purpose than we know. We know, after all, eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, but the flood swept all that away once, and so is the coming of the Son of Man. The world working well, perfectly even, at what it does or seems to have been made to do, it is not the telos, not the end, not the purpose of this world. Nor is it the end, the purpose of your life, to finally get it right. To finally be able to sail smoothly through a smoothed out creation. No, the end is meant to be in Jesus. In all this morning, St. Paul's epistle, it's to us something like a letter from Niels Bohr, albeit far more profound and interesting, showing us that in, with, and under the world we think we know is a far more powerful thing going on. In these few verses, we meet the Father again, the giver of all good, but we meet him not as the one Jesus will reconnect us to keep our goods flowing, but as the one who qualifies us to have a share in what turns out to be the kingdom of his beloved Son, in Jesus, in whom we have the forgiveness of sins. As written elsewhere, we find he opens the way to the Lamb once slain before the foundation of the world, that the world is built on the cross and not the other way around. And elsewhere written that the Father loves the Son because he lays down his life to take it up again, that the cross, the atonement, the forgiveness of sins is even in God as he is in himself. Jesus is not there to get the goods flowing again. But weal or woe from the Heavenly Father's hand is so that we may be found in the end in Jesus by faith, precisely in the forgiveness of sins. If this is what life is all about, whole and entire, I suspect we might have from time to time mistaken it. But Paul goes on. We hear then from him that Jesus is, not that we are, the image of God, and if we are, it's only because we're made in him. And so it is that all things were made through the Son. Not only that, but for him. And in him, all things hang together. He is the force that holds the universe in place. All things. Meaning the world, which is not held together by elementary principles, but is meant to sum up in Jesus. And also the church, which is not made one by bylaws or resolutions or votes, but by the blood of his cross. And your life, too. How does your life hang together? How do your pieces fit? What holds it together when all would spiral it apart? What is God doing in your life? And where is it going? Or for that matter, in your family, your tribe, your country, your world? The answers, my friends, are not out there. The answer is in this Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For in everything, he is to be preeminent. That is the purpose of life and everything. What does this mean for us as the sinned against? If the only good for anyone is bound up in the forgiveness of those sins, would it really have been better to have had it our way with perfect friends, spouses, children, pastors, people? Or is it in the end better for Christ to have made the wounded whole and the fractured one? What does this mean for us as sinners, who the more we know of the goodness of God, the more we're convicted of our falling short? Not that falling again is good, but having fallen, will we not, being forgiven more, also come to love the more, to believe the more firmly? And what does this mean for us, the dying? If by death we are only thrown over the more to trust in Christ's life instead of ours, if we are made less no matter how, so long as he is made more, is it not the more the better? So the question I would leave you with this morning is this: if, as Paul and the whole scriptures teach, the end of everything really is to be found in Jesus, what then? Walk down that road with him a while, and you will not be disappointed. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.